Welcome to 40 Plus Fitness for Women. I'm your host, Lynn, and today we are going to talk about body recomposition in midlife, how that can happen, and my own personal journey. So I'm really excited to be home again. I've been away for about 3 weeks and then enjoying midsummer at the cottage. And I have to say, it was great being back in the US, back at home in Washington, DC. And things have really changed over the past few years. It was amazing also to see all the people at my 30th college reunion, some of whom I haven't seen in, they were last at the 10th year reunion, so 20 years. People are a little shy about going to college reunions. And I have to say that those that did come this time who had been thinking like, should I go? Shouldn't I go? They were really, really happy that they went. It seems like this year or this age of being in midlife, you know, in your early 50s, late 40s, people start to kind of relax and the pressure is off. And it's just more about making connections, sharing experiences, and it was really great. So if you have a reunion coming up, then go. Don't be shy. Don't think that people are going to judge you. I found it to be an amazing experience. Well, I always go, but even these women who had hesitated about going for many, many years, for many, many reunions they've missed, they were excited that they had gone. And I'm also excited because I just joined a new certification program for coaching menopause women. So this is going to be expanding on my current education in this area. And of course, I'm always learning, and then I will be sharing my new learnings with you here on the podcast going forward. So excited for that. So today we're going to be talking about body recomposition in midlife and how that can be accomplished through strength training, dieting, and better overall life habits. So a really, really common phenomenon in midlife is that we are noticing our bodies changing. We notice that we're getting weaker, like it's harder to carry the groceries in. You might have gone on a trip and noticed that, wow, this suitcase really weighs a lot. Or just things like you're noticing you're getting up off the couch like an old person, kind of groaning, you know, as you hoist yourself off. So these are normal signs because as we age, we are getting weaker unless we're doing something about it. Another really, really common thing that women are noticing is the increase in belly fat. And this is accompanying the loss of estrogen as we go through menopause. So that is very normal, but there is something you can do about it, and it's called weight training. And then the other thing that you may have noticed, and this was really the trigger for me to start my own journey, is that I was not looking toned or fit or firm. I was looking doughy. And that really motivated me to take a look at what I was doing and change it up to be better with the current conditions of my body, i.e. my postmenopausal body. So over the past about 15 months, year, I have been undergoing a body recomposition journey. And that has really been in two phases. And I wanted to talk about those today. So I did a really, really in-depth review of each of these in podcast 16 and 17. So 16 goes through my fat loss journey and 17 goes through how I started lifting weights. So if you want more details, I absolutely recommend that you go back and listen to those, especially the fat loss journey. I go through everything that I did during that time, what kind of calorie deficit I was in, my macro targets, how I structured my meals, what my workouts were, and more. And I have to say that it was surprisingly straightforward to do. So that is something that I really feel that a lot of people could, you know, replicate in their own lives. So there were two phases to my plan, as I mentioned. First, I spent about 9 months fully focused on building muscle by weight training in maintenance mode. And that means that I wasn't trying to lose weight. I wasn't trying to gain weight. I was just eating like I'd been eating, which was a way that was keeping my weight approximately the same. But I was really focusing on building muscle during that time. And then after that, my second phase of my two-phase plan was spending 3 months cutting fat by going into a calorie deficit. Now, this 3 months actually turned into something closer to 10 weeks because I went on my vacation to the US and it was really hard to, you know, control what I was eating when I was staying with people, when I was on the road and having to eat at rest stops and all the things. But in any case, I still managed to do a really good job of fat loss during that time. And overall, after going through both phases of this, so over the 12 to 15 months that I have been on this journey, my results have been a significant body recomposition. So overall, I have lost about 4.5 kilograms, which is 10 pounds of weight. And that has been fat that I have lost. So I look and feel significantly different. Now, how do I know that I've had these results? Well, I've been doing measurements using in-body scanning, which is a bioelectrical impedance analysis. So basically, they send a small current through your body, and based on how it moves through your body, they're able to assess like your body composition, how much muscle, how much water, how much fat there is. It's not a perfect method, but you know, it's what I've got. We don't have DEXA scans here where I am available, so I've been using what I have. So I wanted to go through today both of these phases kind of at a high level so you understand what's going on, and then what actually were the results of each of those phases, kind of a look back at what happened. So phase one was indeed this weight training in maintenance. So since it had been a while, since I've been doing really systematic weight training, applying progressive overload, tracking, being in the weight room and all those things, I mean, about 20 years since I've been doing that. And I had been only doing pump classes and other classes that I've realized now were really only just aerobics classes with some dumbbells involved. This worked very well for me. So you may have heard in social media that in order to build muscle, you may need to be in a calorie surplus. And for sure, that is going to be the case for some people and for people who are maybe more advanced lifters, you know, they're hitting kind of their genetic ceiling, that kind of thing where they really need to start optimizing. But for me, since it had been 20 years since I had done like systematic weight training, I was kind of like a newbie starting all over again. So really at this point in phase one, my plan was to weight train 4 times a week following a set program and applying progressive overload all the way. And I actually replaced pretty much all of my aerobics classes with weight training. I didn't have time to kind of add it on top. And certainly the evidence shows that that is not maybe the optimal way to do things. So I replaced aerobics classes with weight training. And I'm still doing some aerobics classes, maybe two times a month, because I do recognize the value in taking care of your heart health. But at this point, I was really just like, I need to build some muscle. So I was still going to my dance classes about a couple times a month. And my dance classes are Les Mills Body Jam classes, and I go all out. I love them, and I get my heart rate all the way up to the top. So those are like tough cardio classes for me. And then I made sure that I was moving, so walking. In the beginning, I was not super consistent. I wasn't tracking consistently, but at some point I did get more strict about that, aiming for at least 6,000 to 8,000 steps a day. And often because I do a desk job and because I was also establishing this company, like where I'm helping women to start weight training, I didn't have like time to go walk for an hour or an hour and a half a day. So it was really about taking breaks during my day or taking a walk after my weight training session to try to fit in those steps. And then there were times when I was super busy during this time because of the aforementioned reasons. And then also there was Christmas and I was hosting Christmas for my kids and my parents. And so sometimes I did modify so that I was weight training only 3 days a week and doing even fewer steps. And in the beginning, I was eating more protein, but I wasn't consistently tracking. I hadn't started like weighing out my food and really, really understanding and optimizing my protein intake. So knowing what I know now, I'm guessing that I was probably in about the 6.6 grams per pound of body weight range. So probably better than most people are doing, just eating as they're eating today, but certainly not as good as what I'm doing today. And so the results of doing this weight training, so shifting from doing lots of aerobics, even if the aerobics had weights and, you know, pump classes and all those things, to actually training in the gym instead, is that I was able to do body recomposition. So I had in-body scans done. Unfortunately, I did not have one done way in the beginning, which, you know, I wish I had thought of that because I love data. But I did do over a 6 month period, I did in-body scan 3 times. So I got the data after 3 months and then after another 3 months. And during that time, at least, my weight stayed the same, but I did gain 700 grams, which is 1.5 pounds of muscle. And I lost 1.1 kilograms, which is 2.4 pounds of fat. So that is wonderful. So there was body recomposition happening without me having to be on a diet, without me tracking my calories, just eating what I had been eating. And of course, you know, paying attention to protein, but even not being optimal with the protein. And I was definitely stronger. I mean, the amount that I was lifting was increasing over time. I was starting to notice that my belly fat was decreasing. You know how you kind of like lose your waist when you hit midlife and like your belt size or whatever increases. And I was definitely noticing that my belly fat was decreasing. Because as I mentioned earlier, resistance training triggers your body to use your visceral fat, your belly fat, which otherwise is fairly stubborn to get rid of. But the thing is that I wasn't really seeing the muscle. I wasn't like looking so toned because I still was carrying extra fat. Even though I had lost some, I really wanted to have my muscles showing better, which is what I was used to, like from my life and from when I was younger. So that is why I went into phase two, which was a fat reduction phase. So this past spring, I wanted to reduce some of my body fat and I embarked on a fat loss diet. And I go through this in extreme detail in podcast 16 and really like that is an excellent one to listen to if this kind of topic interests you at all. But the main things that I focused on during this fat loss period was maintaining a calorie deficit. I mean, I think there is no question that calorie deficit is the thing you need to be in to actually lose weight. And if you are not losing weight, then most likely you are not actually in a calorie deficit. So you need to be tracking, weighing, measuring absolutely everything that goes into your mouth, every spoonful of everything. So I was really, really strict. I estimated that my maintenance calories, what I'd been eating for the previous year, was somewhere between 2,000 and 2,200 calories a day. So I went into a 500 calorie per day deficit. So I was eating 1,700 calories a day. So this may sound like a lot to some of you who have been listening to this advice that go into 1200 calorie deficit, but 1200 calories for me would not even cover my basic bodily functions. So, yeah, that would not be a good strategy for me. So, the 1700 calories a day, it was, well, listen to the podcast on the weight loss journey because I don't want to go into that too deep here, because otherwise this podcast is going to get super long. Anyway, and like I said, I weighed absolutely everything. I had super boring meals. I was eating kind of the same things over and over again. I'm not a foodie, so that was fine with me. And I don't eat out a lot because I don't want to spend a ton of money on food, but it also helps in the tracking thing. And number two thing that I did related to eating was I applied a high protein diet. So this was 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight per day. So for me, this was 145 grams per day. And now this is hard to achieve. You are not going to do this by accident unless you happen to only have like cottage cheese in your fridge and you're not eating anything else. This requires planning and discipline. And I really lay it out in episode 16 about how I structured my eating and my days to get in this much protein. I've actually discussed this protein thing this past week as I check-ins with some of my clients, and two of them, we actually ended up in discussions around protein, and they've started tracking their protein and trying to eat more of it, and it's still not reaching that 1 gram per pound per day. And they also declared that, you know, this is very, very challenging to hit that. But it is something that is going to help your body to maintain the muscle when you're in a calorie deficit, and also actually to help minimize how much muscle you're losing just with plain aging, plus give your body the resources it needs to build more muscle. So that is a really important part. Okay, so that was the first two were around what I was eating. So then the third thing was around weight training. So the thing about it is about dieting is that when your body is in a calorie deficit, that means you're not giving it enough fuel for it to do the things it needs to do every day. So it is going to rely on resources in your body to fuel the things it needs to do. And what are the sources of fuel it can rely on? Well, it can take fat or it can take muscle. And of course, when you're in a diet, you want it to be taking from your fat stores. And so how can you encourage that? Well, you can encourage that by at the same time telling your body that, hey, I really need this muscle. You can't get rid of it. And how are you going to tell it that? By using that muscle, by weight training, by pushing your muscles, by telling your body that, hey, I need to be strong enough to lift these heavy things. So you can't get rid of this muscle. Go somewhere else for that energy need. So this was a very key tenet of my program. And this was point number three, weight training. I weight trained 3 to 4 times a week, continued to apply progressive overload. Now, weight training in a calorie deficit is not fun because you're tired in a calorie deficit. So I had like no energy. I made minimal progress as far as actually progressing in my lifts. I mean, if I got one rep more in a particular session, then that was like good progress for me. So it really was not fun. It is way better when you're getting sufficient fuel. And this actually, just as an aside, for those of you who may be like in a constant state of dieting, like don't do that to yourself, right? Just diet for a set period of time and then get back to eating and training. Because doing life when you're in a calorie deficit is just not fun. I noticed that for sure. And if you're not weight training when you are in a diet, it has been estimated that you will lose 25 to 30% of the weight that you lose in the diet from your muscle. Now that is a lot of the weight coming from your muscle. So as much as you can, you know, save your muscle, spare your muscle during your diet, that's what you want to do. And that's what the weight training will help with. So that was number three. And now number four was to maintain my non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And I actually did a podcast episode on NEAT as well. So if you are not sure what that is, it was podcast number seven, which is about total daily energy expenditure. So basically, when you're in a calorie deficit, in addition to your body trying to find sources of energy by, you know, using your fat or your muscle stores to fuel what you're doing, it also tries to save energy. And it saves this energy by decreasing your just movement, your daily movement. So you'll fidget less, you'll sit more still, you won't talk with your hands. And this is something that I really, really noticed happening to me. I would sit down at my desk in the morning to start my workday, and I was like a bump on a log. Like, I have never sat more still in my life. And I have a desk that you can raise to stand. And oh my God, the willpower it took to like even get myself to raise my desk to stand was amazing. So I could see that my body was trying to sabotage my efforts. And so I made sure that I was maintaining my NEAT by tracking my steps. And in the beginning, I was making sure that I was getting 8,000 steps a day. And then I increased that to 10,000 steps a day. Now, I bought myself a walk pad, and that enabled it. So twice a day, I would raise my desk and I'd like walk for an hour on the walk pad while I was working. And that enabled me to maintain the NEAT, the level of motion, so I wouldn't have to go into even further calorie deficit. Okay, so that was number four, was maintaining the NEAT. So number five was about my cardio. So I actually did not increase my cardio. I kept it exactly the same. So I was still going to the 2 times a month dance classes, going all out as usual. Of course, a little bit more difficult to go all out because I was in the calorie deficit. Number six, this was a really, really critical one. I was getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Yeah, you may wonder, how does sleep relate to, you know, losing weight? But it was a super important ingredient, because when you have not gotten enough sleep, your hunger and satiety hormones go haywire. And I noticed this really, really strongly. I had one evening where my kids, I have two teenagers at home still, 4 o'clock in the morning, they were arguing upstairs. I wake up like, whoa, what's happened? World War III. You know, I come upstairs. Yeah. So that was that night for me. So I'd gotten like, what, 4 or 5 hours of sleep that night. The next 2 days, I was dragging so hard. It was all I could do not to eat like all the sugar, carbs, whatever in the house to try to like give myself some energy. And I was living on caffeine. So for sure, the 7 to 8 hours of sleep, getting good night's sleep, key. Also, all the other things, because you are more tired when your body doesn't have the calories that it needs. So everything, life is just easier if you get enough sleep when you're in a calorie deficit. And in general, by the way, but especially if you're in a calorie deficit. And then the final thing, the seventh thing, was daily weigh-ins. So because your weight actually does fluctuate daily a little bit, depending, all right, if you're still cycling, it's going to depend on what time of the month it is. You might be water retention, all kinds of things going on. Also about like, have you had a bowel movement? How late did you eat at night? Did you eat more carbs? So you're retaining more water. All kinds of things can affect that. So if you're just you're weighing yourself once a week, it is really not going to be an accurate representation of what your weight really is. So I weighed myself every morning. As soon as I got up, I'd use the bathroom, hop on the scale, and write that down. And then each week I would take the average of those, the 7 days of that week, and I would look at where that average number was heading. And even though the daily fluctuations might go up and down and sometimes be really depressing, the weekly averages, they were trending down. Or I think there was one week where it stayed about the same, but that really gave me a much more accurate idea of where I really was with this whole situation. Okay, so that was like a quick synopsis of phase one and phase two and the main things I was doing in each of those phases. And now, drumroll please, the results. So this is a lot of numbers, and I'm thinking that maybe I need to post these somewhere if somebody's actually interested in seeing them like on paper, because I know I have a hard time if somebody talks numbers at me. All right. So I these numbers are based on in-body scans. So I had an in-body scan done before I started, during phase one. So only the last 6 months of phase one. So this is the last 6 months of phase one, what happened. And then in phase two, I had taken an in-body scan right before I started it. And then 10 weeks in. So I was expecting my diet to take 12 weeks, but I think I was overly optimistic, thinking that when I was in the US, I could actually like traveling and staying with people. You know, you can't be like, oh no, I only eat, you know, cottage cheese for snack and Greek yogurt for breakfast, and I need two eggs. And I couldn't do that. So I'll say that my diet really only was the 10 weeks. And that's when I took the in-body measurement. But actually, I have lost a little bit of weight still after that. But because I learned good habits about how to choose foods and all that from doing all the tracking that I did. But in any case, so in phase one, which was my muscle building phase, so the last 6 months of phase one, I lost very little weight. So 100 grams of weight. So that's 0.22 pounds. So really like insignificant, could be due to this kind of daily fluctuation kind of thing. But what I believe in more is like the muscle and the fat change, because that's not going to, you know, be affected so much by like, did you have more salt yesterday? And are you a little bit more dehydrated today than yesterday? So muscle change during the last six months of my muscle building phase was that I gained 1.5 pounds of muscle. So that's 700 grams of muscle. And I lost 2.4 pounds of fat. So that's 1.1 kilogram of fat. So that I think is a really nice exchange of fat for muscle going on in maintenance mode by weight training and not even being optimal with my protein intake. So that should hopefully be very encouraging for anybody who gets started weight training. It's not speedy Zoom results, but you know, this is a lifestyle change, right? You're not actually weight training for some sort of quick transformation. You're weight training for your long-term health and health span. So, and then if we look at phase two, which was the 10 weeks between the first in-body scan that I took just before I started the diet to the last one that I took just before my trip to the States, there I lost 9.5 pounds, so 4.3 kilograms. I lost 7.5 pounds of fat, so 3.4 kilograms of fat. And so that is great. I mean, I achieved my goal of losing fat and actually decreased my body fat percentage about 5%. But the sad part of this was that I also lost muscle. Like I said, when you are in a diet, on average, you'll lose 25 to 30% of the weight from your muscles. And despite all my training and eating protein, I lost muscle during that 10 weeks. I lost 1.3 pounds of muscle, which is the same as 600 grams of muscle. So basically, I lost in those 10 weeks almost as much muscle as I had gained in the previous 6 months. And let that sink in for a second. I mean, dieting is crap for your muscles. And imagine if I hadn't been weight training and eating all that protein and just been on a diet. I wonder what the damage would have been in that case. Quite a bit more. So yeah, that is like the thing that kind of hit me hardest. I mean, how depressing is that, that I spent 10 weeks training like crazy and not building any muscle? In fact, quite the opposite, losing muscle. Okay, losing less muscle than I would have if I hadn't been doing those things, but still losing muscle. It seems insane and depressing. Yes, but overall, so if we're thinking about like the last 6 months of phase one plus the 10 weeks of phase two, so from when I first started, did my first in-body measurement to when I did my latest one, I have lost 9.7 pounds. So I'm rounding that up to 10, talking about 10. And that's the same as 4.4 kilos for those of you in Europe. And in muscle terms, I gained 0.22 pounds of muscle. Wah. So because I lost so much during the fat loss phase, and that in kilograms is actually 100 grams of muscle overall. Yeah. But my fat change is that I lost 10 pounds of fat. That's 4.5 kilograms of fat. So really I did do a body recomposition, because even though I may be at about the same amount of muscle as I was in the beginning, I have lost significant amount of fat. 10 pounds of fat. That's a lot. That's a lot. And when I did the calculation about the muscle loss, it was about 14% of the weight that I lost was muscle. So I did manage to lose less muscle than that average of 25 to 30%, but still depressing. And like I said, I decreased my body fat percentage by over 5%. Now, body fat percentage is not the most reliable measure. It's better to look at how many pounds of fat you lose and how many pounds of muscle you gain, that kind of thing. But still, a lot of people talk in body fat percentages, so I thought I would share that here. So that was my results. And so what's next? So next is really to start building back that muscle. So now I'm back to a maintenance calorie amount, or I'm trying to figure out what that is, because of course it's going to be a little bit different because I am a little bit of a smaller person now with less fat on my body. And I'm going to keep my protein levels high as I've had throughout my diet. So that 1 gram per pound of body weight. And I really want to see how that goes as far as how much muscle I can build in maintenance now, since I'm a little bit further along now in my weight building or my weight training journey. And this is a journey. So I am looking forward to, you know, seeing how this progresses over the next years. And I'm really excited about what I've been able to achieve in a little over a year. And super looking forward to seeing where I am next summer. So my biggest takeaways for me from this journey, if we're going to sum it up here, is that one, that always be lifting weights and in a way where you're able to apply progressive overload. And if you don't know what progressive overload is, please go back and listen to podcast number 18, which is about progressive overload. It is not easy to build muscle. Do not worry about all of a sudden being bulky overnight. It is hard. Unless you're super genetically gifted, then, you may be one of the exceptions. But for most of us, especially women, it is really hard. It's months and years of work. Second big takeaway is that dieting is eats muscle. So even when you're doing all the right things, eating lots of protein, lifting weights, you are gonna lose muscle when you're dieting. And so for me, that tells me that it is super important not to get to that point where you need to start dieting. So if you are right now in at a point where you're hitting perimenopause, you're starting to see the first signs of change, then make the adjustments to your lifestyle, to your nutrition, start weight training, start walking more, do less of that hard cardio every week so you're not stressing out your body, so that you don't end up in the same position that I was in, right? So avoid it. Try to learn from my mistakes. And then the third thing that I learned is that it is possible to do significant body recomposition even after menopause. Woohoo! That is great news. And that is the main message that I would love for you to come away with from this. That it is not game over when you hit middle age. It is game on. Same way that life is not over when you hit middle age. I know so many women who are just having a blast in their 50s, including me. A lot of them are divorced, yes, but anyway, so we are not dead just because we hit 50. And by the way, if you are ready to get started on your journey with weight training, I have just launched a new self-study course. So this is for those of you who want to start weight training in the gym, but you don't really know what to do. So maybe you have a gym membership, you've gone and you've stood at the door and you're like, okay, what should I be doing? How do I choose what weights I should be doing? How often should I be going? All those kinds of questions. I now have a self-study course where you can learn to lift at the gym on your own. So it's got instructional videos, it's got a program, a tracker, it's got some additional education for you. So everything that you need to get started. And I've put a link to that in the show notes so you can learn more. And if you have any questions, then please hit me up in my Instagram DMs. And then the second way that you could get started is this group program that I've been talking about in my previous episodes. So I've gotten a good amount of interest in the group program. So I am planning to launch it this fall, most likely September, mid-September, when people, kids are back in school and you can get started with your new routines. So please, if you are at all interested in this, go sign up for the waitlist. It does not obligate you for anything, but it will let me know, who's interested so I can keep you updated as it gets closer. And I'm also planning something special for the first people who sign up, either some kind of a discount or some kind of an extra thing, like one-on-one coaching with me or something like this for the first people to sign up. So, and the first people to sign up will be the people who are on the waitlist because you will find out about it before the rest of the world. So that link is also in the show notes. So with that, I will leave you to continue to enjoy your summer. I hope it's a little bit nicer there than it is here. We are having a rainy Saturday. And yes, I look forward to talking to you next time. In the meanwhile, happy training. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of 40 Plus Fitness for Women. If you're enjoying the podcast and want to show your appreciation, please hit the subscribe button. That helps me to reach more listeners because it signals to the podcast algorithm gods that this is a good show. Talk to you next week.